Good morning. We welcome you in person in worship. We welcome you virtually online. We have a growing, diverse online community learning how to minister and do all of the work that we do to everybody here and everybody there. But we welcome all of you, and we are glad to be able to gather here this morning. Morning joke, I was doing some work in the garage, so I came in and had to wash my hands, so I filled the sink, soapy water, got it all filled. My cell phone fell right in the water. It immediately began to sink. S-Y-N-C, sink, okay. That actually would not have been a joke had it been doing that, would it? It was neither here nor there. By way of announcements, I don't have a lot on the back of the bulletin. Do you have announcements, things that we need to be aware of? Sandy Tenney, did the women meet on Saturday? You said you were here. You were here, good, amen. The women doing the good work of the church as usual. The women of faith, it used to be United Methodist Women, have always been the foundation of the church, and we give you thanks for your good ministry and your good works and your solid foundation. Other announcements for the good of the order? What else is going on that we need to be aware of? I don't see anything else off the top of my head. No, I can't think of anything that we need to announce by way of announcement, but we're glad to be gathered. Let us stand, wave hello to one another, and let us turn to our call to worship.
Morning, everybody. All right, please join me in the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord. God's steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord and the Word among us. Make known God's deeds among the peoples. God blesses us with gifts of love, with food and clothing, home and family. God blesses us with daily work and all we need from day to day. God calls us into relationship and forms us into one holy people, the Church of Jesus Christ in this place. Therefore shall we offer thanks and praise to the Lord our God. O Lord our God, we give thanks to you. And now will you join me in singing the first hymn, Trust and Obey. It's found in your hymnal on page 467, and it will be up here.
Still, and
to be happy, Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You may be seated. The first scripture lesson for today is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, and then picking up again in verses 19 through 25. It's found in your Pew Bible in the New Testament section on page 210. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since then, he has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Doesn't she do a fine job? What a great speaking voice. What a great singing voice. Yeah. Hey. By way of prayers, we lift the prayers on the back of the bulletin as you see them. I want to know if there are any updates on any of those. Renee Varon, you are here. You recovered from pneumonia. God is good. Hang on, Renee. Let's wait till we get the microphone so online people can hear you also.
Okay. I want to thank everyone for prayers. Wouldn't have made it without it, for sure. A couple times my friends were worried that I wasn't coming back. And no, you know, from like on the surgical, on the table. Anyways, it's a long road back. Not quite finished, but not infectious. So there you go. But thank you all for prayers.
Thank
you. Not contagious.
Thank you, Renee. Amen. Debbie Gunther.
I mentioned a few weeks ago my stepdaughter was going through tests. It's not lung cancer. So again, thank you for prayers. It's Valley Fever, which is Arizona, I guess. But anyway, thank you for the prayers for Jackie Meisenheimer.
Okay. Yes. Amen. Good. Other prayers of concern? I would lift yesterday evening late. I awoke in the middle of the night. There were gunshots in a Utah park. Two were killed, two are in the hospital. Sad, tragic. It is not a surprise in our growing culture where guns are a game amongst young people, and just ask prayers for that and prayers for those healing and for those families who suffered loss. Others. In the midst of all of that, there is good news. We have some birthdays going on here. Anybody want to fess up to any? Or no? I don't see any hands going up. Monday, Alex Burns will be 32. I vaguely remember 32, vaguely. Jeanette Boyles will be 91. We are celebrating Jeanette Boyles. Lucy had her hand up. What's up, Lucy?
When you see Tony, our son, our oldest son, his birthday is tomorrow, but today in Australia. Wish him a very happy birthday. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Wednesday, Linnell Franklin will be 100.
Wow.
So she will not answer the phone. She is hearing impaired, and so she will not answer the phone. But if you think to send her card, I think she'd love that. I'm not a lot aware. On Thursday, well, Paya is okay.
Just want to thank God for the gift of life for baby Elise. She turned one on Thursday, this past Thursday. Wave your hand, little girl. She's here.
Happy birthday, sweetie. I don't even remember one. It was a long, long time ago. Other celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries, accomplishments. I'm grateful for a lot of people. Colleen is our accompanist as usual. She's doing this out of the gifts of her heart, and she has been graced with musical ability that is amazing to me, and I never hear her email me back and say, that one's too hard, or that hymn's this, or that hymn's that. She just rises to the occasion, and occasionally I spring hymns on her with no warning, and she plays them on by sight. So I want to give her thanks. Thank you, Colleen. Others. Nalu, would you, I don't know if, I suppose it should be you, Neo's here. When did you sneak in, brother? You're sneaky. Where did Michael go with the battery? Maybe he's changing batteries. You had you on Missionale last Saturday, yes? Did that go well? Very well, amen, celebrations. Did you want to say anything about it? Michael's coming back with the microphone now. Do you want to say anything, brother, or no? I can hear you a little bit. Try it. And I gave you lots of warning to speak, as in like 13 seconds worth of warning. So.
And like they say, our missionale or our yearly giving was done on last Saturday, and it was a success. They collected.
Hold the microphone closer to your mouth, brother.
So it probably just died.
No, it's still there. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Tongans collected 36,000, and I forgot the rest.
36,000 something.
Yeah, 36,600 and some kind of a number. And we are so thankful for our Lord helping us to keep what is given to us. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Neil. And you're growing ministry, some families moving in, some families having kiddos. Oh, that's another way to grow a ministry. We continue to celebrate that. Others. I have to admit, I drive north and south coming to the church, so I don't always look. But did you see the snow on the mountains? Isn't that beautiful? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. Give thanks. Let's join together. No other prayers. Let us join together in our unison prayer. You see it printed on your worship bulletin. Let us read responsively. Make a joyful noise to the Holy One, all the earth. Remember that the Holy One is good, the one who made us, and the one who holds us, the one who breathes within us. Let us enter into worship with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for God's steadfast love, love that endures forever, and faithfulness to all generations. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, as we come before you, we have joys and concerns. We have things heavy on our hearts. Our hearts are heavy with the loss of two young people from gun violence. Lord, tell us how to help. Tell us what to do. Tell us how we can reach and stem this tide. Guide and direct us, guide our prayers to those families who are hurting. There are other hurts among us, and they are as worthy of your prayers as any other. And we lift them. We lift families experiencing loss or travail, or struggles, and pains, or just broken cars, broken bodies. And fear. We pause, Lord, before you. We pause to ask your presence with us that we might share your love with those around us. We come here and we gather and we feel and hear your love. We join with one another and reassure one another. We minister to one another and are ministered to in our gatherings, in our prayers, in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of giving and the gifts of pledges, missionaries, of celebrations of seasons beginning to change and preparations for Thanksgiving season. Changes in our lives that are celebrations and changes in our lives that are bittersweet with aging, with maladies. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for being with us, for joining us as you always do. Your presence is always with us. Help us share that with the world. Help us be the people that proclaim you in every corner. Help us be the people that lift you and lift in song so that people might find the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come, we gather with people all around the world, and the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us listen. Thy word is a lamp. Our Colleen's offertory. Thank you.
now, if you are able, please stand and join me for the gospel lesson. This scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sure. Any kids, young or old, that want to come up and do the BDS song?
And we don't always invite the people online, but if you are online watching us, stand and we'll go through these motions with us if you are able. Good, a little bit of good cardiovascular, providing your bodies are up for that. And we got some good young helpers here this morning. Amen, amen.
Because the Lord has shown us.
Well, we're celebrating things. I think I saw Nemo in there. I found Nemo. Celebrate Stephanie. She, each week I send her kind of an idea of what the theme for the sermon is and ask her to come up with one of the VBS songs to fit that. I'm tapping her mental hard drive there. Thank you, Stephanie, as usual, and for helping with the kiddos. It is that season. Do you know that season that we're coming into now? That season that we should all be aware of. It's the Grinch season. How many of you have ever seen that animated film called How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Has anybody seen it? Anybody but me? Am I the only one? No, okay. I am, those of you who know me know I'm kind of a hopeless optimist. And I don't make any apologies for that, but the Grinch has always been kind of a Grinch to me. You know, I don't know how to say that otherwise, but just sticks in my craw that anybody would be that anti-Christmas. But I watch the video whenever I'm available because of the Grinch's dog. Do you know the Grinch's dog? Max. That little dog is worth the whole thing for me. Once the pieces is over and Max is no longer in the picture, I'm kind of get bored with the whole thing. But Max is just this indomitable spirit, isn't he? Intriguingly, the Grinch really doesn't treat him very well. Well, we really don't know, but Max has never run away. So Max is sticking it out. Maybe there's a lesson there for us with people that we're not sure about. And sometimes it would be easier to step away. But Max hangs in there, like any good pet, just enthusiastic and dedicated and full of exuberance, happy, and persistently trying lovingly to be good and to do good. Do you agree with me about Max? Do you think that Max's behavior influences the Grinch? I don't think so. I don't think it makes any difference at all. And should Max even try? I mean, he's the Grinch. You're a mean one. I'm going to be singing that all day today. Now, you know I am. Mr. Grinch. But why would I be talking about the Grinch in a sermon on Sunday morning? Because of Hebrews. Holly read it to us this morning. Did you hear? Paul wrote to the Hebrews. He wrote all of that we read today. He said, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Oh, my. Oh, my. Do good, we understand. Anybody here have any doubts about what doing good means? It's kind of what we explore a lot, and we know what that's about. But how many of you have been called by God to provoke one another? That's an interesting word, isn't it? Think about what provoke instills in you when you hear that word. The Greek word, paroxysmos. Paroxysmos. Say that once with me. Paroxysmos. We won't remember that 10 seconds from now, but that's okay. But paroxysmos, it means to urge, to unsettle, to motivate, to irritate, to stir response. Intriguingly, you can put a grain of sand in an oyster and it will make a pearl. Is that true? Any of you know your biology well enough? So you're putting an irritant in this creature and it builds this calcium pearl around it to protect itself. You're provoking the critter. It's like a burr under the saddle. How many of you have ever been out riding on your horse and your horse has a burr under the saddle? This is probably not the group to talk to that about. When I was in Johnstown, there's a lot of people with horses, and there was land or all around. But if you had a horse that was misbehaving, there was a pretty good chance you could figure out something was wrong. You needed to stop and unsaddle the horse, which is a big job, take off the blanket, make sure that there wasn't a burr in there, because horses' hides are pretty tender, and they will let you know that something's not right. So that you get a burr under a saddle, that's a way to provoke the horse to a response. I was thinking about other provocations, and remember the story of the princess and the pea? That came to mind. I'm not sure it fits. But remember, she proves she's a true princess by she can't sleep because there's this pea under the mattress, and she detects it. There's an irritant there that won't let her rest. I don't know much more about that. I just remember, what's her name that did the TV version of it? Oh, what's her name? Comedian Carol Burnett, thank you. She played the princess and the pea. You vaguely remember that? Now some of you are going, oh, I remember that. Here's a better provocation. Have you ever gotten a splinter or a sliver? This is one of my favorite illustrations. I'll get a sliver or a splinter when I'm doing woodworking, and I'll say, ah, nuts, and then I'll go about my business and I'll ignore it. Sooner or later, it'll start bugging me again, and it'll keep bugging me until I stop and get rid of it. This is your body's way of saying you are gonna get ill. I'm not sure if that's proper English. But the body instructing us that we need to fix something. Something's wrong here. Get in here. Take care of this. Return to health. Right down here on the road, what's the diagonal road that runs through our thing here? Delmouth. There we go. Thank you. There's one of those traffic things on the side, and it has the speed limit, and then when you pull up, it tells you instantly how fast you're going. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen those. When they first went up, I remember that I would see those and think, oh my goodness, I'm speeding. They never ever tell you you're going too slow. I don't know what the deal is with that. But nowadays, I see them and I realize that what the speed limit is, and I sort of ignore them. Do you? Just kind of breeze on by. They're changing that now. You need to be aware. They're going to add software and hardware and take your picture and mail you a speeding fine. They're going to provoke a response, and it's going to cost you money. They know how to do that. But slowing people down is a good thing. If you've been out there, I hear these very rapid vehicles traveling up and down the streets around me all the time. So this is a good thing to provoke a good response. But here is Paul, and it's the really very word that he's using, provoking us to love and good deeds. Us to provoke each other to love and good deeds. Now, I can understand showing someone how I might do something loving. Through my example, maybe that will impact some people, maybe it'll affect some people you don't know. And sometimes, especially you hear in the mail or on TV or on the internet or YouTube or all of the different social media, somebody will provoke us to say, give to this needy cause. And all too often they're scams, and so we've become immune to that. We've built a scab over being able to respond to such provocation. But we do need to help one another, and finding legitimate ways to do that. And here's a brief advertisement for UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. We really do a good job through that, and it's a real thing that's done by real churches and real pastors. It's one of those places, if you're thinking about helping a disaster, North Carolina, those people flooded out, the hurricane, different people, there's another hurricane, a typhoon in southeast oceans there. There's disasters all the time, and right now fires, and we hear of those, and we want to help. How do we help? UMCOR is there on all of those. Where there is United Methodist Churches, there is UMCOR. So a brief advertisement there. And maybe I'll provoke all of us to respond there and to give a little bit out of our prosperity and our safety and out of our plenty, and to give just a bit. Because of a lot of us giving a bit gives a lot. I'm turning into a stewardship sermon here, isn't it? I didn't mean to go down this path necessarily. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, it's a negative inducement. It's not a positive thing. For if we willingly persist in sin after having received the knowledge of truth, then there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. That's sort of like the traffic ticket on the speeding sign, isn't it? There's a negative inducement. You better do this or else. Can we induce someone to love using threats? Can we fearfully force someone that way through fear to be more loving? I don't know if that's possible. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. A fella I knew in my first full-time appointment in Fort Morgan, Ham Jackson. He was a doctor, very active, a scout leader, vivacious, busy, full of energy, had a serious stroke. He lost half of the movement in his body. And so he could get around with the help of his wife, Avis. But he had to quit doctor practice. He had to quit scouting. He had to quit all the things that had been central to his life. But he was the most positive person I've ever met. And he did that deliberately. If something was going on and something was happening, and there might be discussions around something, he would invariably have a positive something to say, or he didn't say anything at all. But he more than often than not, he deliberately was positive, and it was a lesson to me. I said, I'd like to be like that. I'm working on it. I'm not there yet. But encouraging one another to be positive is that sort of thing. It's not a Pollyanna sort of thing, a hopeless, mindless, it doesn't make any difference. The shooting has unsettled me. I hope it has. I mean, last night, two dead. What can we do? How can we encourage one another? Where can we plug into this? I don't know. I'm off track again here. This is not the way the sermon was headed, but it fits in with where we're about, isn't it? How to teach us to love one another, how it teaches us to provoke love and good works. Because one of the things it says, not neglecting to meet together, it means don't be in isolation. I have a tendency that's happening there. I'll just withdraw further and build bigger walls around my house and my family. But that's not how we do that. And sometimes in meeting together, we inspire each other. Did you know some of you inspire me sometimes? The first lay leader, and I was a student church, I was a student pastor, Wayne Nicodemus. Nicodemus, just like in the Bible. That was his last name. He says, I'm a perfect example. He says, I'm the perfect example of everything not to do. And Wayne wasn't, but it was a delightful, humorous thing to say. And it helped us think about how we are examples to one another. Because sometimes somebody will say something and I'll think, well, I never thought of it that way. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe in a sermon once or twice? We can hope. Have you had people who have instilled in you growing love? Helped you grow in your ability to love one another? I think we call those saints that have helped us. Sometimes it's just people randomly that do something and it just instills in us hope and reminds us that there are a lot more good people. There's a lot more good in the world than there is bad. And it's easy to become jaded. It'd be easy to just kind of back away. Do you remember what Jesus was saying about the stones of the temple? All of the stones of all the buildings will come down. Not one will be left upon another. And the disciples wanted to know when that was happening. I mean, if we knew that the last day was such and such a day, we'd make special plans, wouldn't we? Would we do things a little differently? Well, now is the time to do those, is what Jesus teaches us. But he warns us too. He says, many will come and claim to be me. I am he. The Greek, ego I may, I am. And they will lead many astray. And there's much of that that goes on. There's much of that that happens. And we as God's Christian children need to be the testimony against those things. Hebrews talks about Jesus, the Christ, who is the one, makes the one sacrifice for all time to eliminate that yearly giving of a sacrifice, that yearly atonement that has to be made and remade, which means that it wasn't made effectively when it was made, the priests. And how many of us continue to carry along things that we've done year after year and not allow ourselves to get past those things and get on? And Jesus makes that atonement for all time that purifies and forgives. Forgives us and calls us to another possibility, provokes us to forgive others. There are a handful of people in my life that I've just gotten stuck in my craw that I just have a hard time forgiving. I'm sure I'm the only one. Thank you for your laughter. But how do we forgive? Because it changes us. And in our forgiving, we are about provoking someone else to forgive. Think about Christ's intercession for us, forgiving us. And as we debate how we can provoke one another, and I've been struggling this since I read it and thinking, how do we irritate people to love one another? That's what provoke means, but it can be a positive provocation. We can nudge people in ways that we can't imagine, and we can nudge people in positive ways, but I'm still exploring this. This is a concept that's, maybe it's too foreign for us, but one that we need to think about. To provoke one another to love and to good deeds. How do we do that? We begin by accepting the fact that Christ is provoking us to love. And out of that love, to love one another. Seems like he said that somewhere, didn't he? He said, this commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. Let's stand and sing. Honor and Praise, number 2018 in the Faith We Sing. Holly's going to lead us. Not me, thankfully.
Before you with honor.
come before the Lord with honor and praise, and we're called to provoke one another. Think about that, the burr under the saddle, the grain of sand that will form a pearl. I don't know how else we might envision provoking. It's a growing edge for me to think of what that might look like. But with God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, we can accomplish these things. Amen?
Amen.
Let's join hands and sing our closing.